You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 422. Today is Tuesday, October 9th, 2018, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And before we start, please help out the podcast by subscribing, writing a review, sharing links on Twitter and Facebook. If you do, I promise the Yankees won't win the World Series, which I'm feeling very good about since they're like losing to the Red Sox now.
Yeah, and they're at 4-0 tonight, game 3.
All right, so folks, in tonight's show, we will break down the division series before the Braves and the Dodgers. It is all division series tonight. But first, a quick break. So, breaking the news to no one, the NL division series is over. Dodgers are moving on. Yeah, your mom.
Yes, she gets her breaking news on our podcast.
Right. So the Dodgers moving on. The Braves are going home. So, Hammy, let's start with you. Where are you on the postseason performance overall? Like, how do you feel about it? And I'm not talking about the season.
Yeah.
We'll get into that on the next show. But these four games.
Yeah. So 3 points here. So first, there never will be a time when it is easy to take one on the chin from the Dodgers, regardless of preseason, postseason. I hate losing to the Cardinals. I hate losing to the National League East teams. And I really hate losing to the Dodgers. I hate it. So there's that. And overall, you know, our worst suspicions, our worst fears about the team came true this week under the heavy lights and the scrutiny. We worried at times that we weren't on the same level as these teams, and certainly against the Dodgers we weren't. We worried that our bats tended to disappear, especially against the top-line starters like a Kershaw. We saw that the walks would haunt us, the bullpen would be our undoing. We feared all of that, and that came to fruition this week against the Dodgers. So I'm bummed. I'm bummed by it. I really started to believe that we could beat anybody and that we had a slugger's chance against whoever we came up with. But in hindsight, that feels a little delusional, I guess, you know, when you really see the games being played. We're just not ready yet. So I was bummed. And then, but not gut-wrenching. Last point. It's not gut-wrenching disappointment. This is not Jim Leyritz disappointment. This is not the Falcons Super Bowl level weeks of despondency. I'm going to enjoy watching the rest of the postseason, and I cannot wait till next year. So the disappointment passed quickly.
So I want to say one thing that to what you said, and it was one of the reasons that I was like, you know, they could do this, is they perform pretty well against the best pitchers in the league. I mean, look at the wins against Scherzer and DeGrom, Chris Sale, Aaron Nola. Like they beat some of the best.
Yeah, and we got schooled by some of the best, too.
Yeah, we did. But right. I just felt like, you know, they sort of rise to the occasion.
Yeah, and we all year long, we bounce back, right? Even after game two. We're like, this is how the Braves season goes. We hit these lulls. We're going to bounce back a win here tonight. And then we got our best pitcher going tomorrow. Who knows what can happen? But we're not there yet, right? We cannot sustain high performance through the course of a long series against, you know, the top talent in the league there. We're not there yet. We're not quite in that class.
Yeah, I totally agree about that. And the first two games were pretty depressing.
Ugh.
You know what I mean? Like, it was a flashback to 2013 where we looked completely overmatched against those same Dodgers. And it brought me back to just like a lot of the bad last few, you know, not never winning a playoff series in the 2000s, where they just didn't look like there was any way it was going to go the Braves' way. Now, game three changed all that for me. For the Braves to have put in that kind of performance with a grand slam, it being Acuna, Freddie going ahead with the home run. Like, it was so magical. It was so, you know, it was a microcosm of the whole season. You kind of mentioned that, right? It was bouncing back after looking like they were dead. Your offensive heroes in Acuna and Freddie, the bullpen bending but not breaking.
Yep.
Like, it was beautiful. It was Braves 2018 baseball in that one game. And yes, of course, then I was like, oh, but if game four, we could just steal some way, you know.
Well, and we were up 2-1, right?
We were.
I mean, it was even into the game, you're starting to think, we imagine, okay, we go back to L.A. and, You know, who's our number two? And
right. And Anibal has a big bounce back and gets, you know.
Yeah, or if it's even him, is it Tehran? You know, I mean, we're not there yet. You know, like, who knows what you're thinking? But then, yeah, the wheels fell off pretty quickly.
Well, but I agree. Yeah, go ahead, Kurt.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we've talked about payroll and all that kind of stuff. And I think that really when it all comes home on those types of issues is the postseason. When you have a bullpen that's not that great, when you're starting five, not that Sanchez hasn't been great this season, but to have to rely on a guy like Anibal Sanchez to start a game two for you, you know, you lose a guy like Dansby Swanson, and it's, you know, the depth of their bench, everything else that the Dodgers have is, or in most of these teams, and most of these teams have very deep payrolls, but it comes with also the sustained success that they've had. These ownerships would not dump money into these teams if they didn't feel like they were ready to compete for the ultimate prize, which is obviously the championship. And the Braves are a year ahead of the plan. So
the negative year ahead, right?
Yeah. I mean, and you can't expect that they would be ready to compete with the depth of these other teams. So I thought the effort, obviously I was the most pessimistic going in. None of the matchups seemed to sort of favor the Braves. And I didn't like the way the Braves played down the stretch. They, you know, that was, I think they ended up going 3-7 in their last 10 games, including the playoffs. And it was, you know, they did face a bunch of good pitching going down the stretch and did not perform well at all against the bulk of it. So it seemed like a bad precursor to what was to become. But I, you know, the Dodgers, they were right there in a couple of games. I mean, the Dodgers are not world beaters by any stretch of the imagination. I don't feel like that's a team that has a World Series championship in them.
By the same token, the Braves are not that far away from being.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And I mean, that'll be, I know we'll touch on this more on the next show, but I'm excited waiting for what the, you know, the offseason awaits us and what sort of moves that Anthropoulos makes. And you know, when the best part about it is there's energy back with the Braves. And it's been such a long time where you had guys, used to be every single free agent would, they, you know, the Braves would be at the top of his list. And then it was just dormant. Nobody would come play for the Braves. Nobody wanted to come play for the Braves because they were so bad. And I guarantee you, there will be guys that would love to come play for this team in the offseason. So that will help in negotiations. Hernandez, yeah, exactly.
Talent destination.
All right. So, guys, let's take a look at the different aspects of the Braves' performance in the series. Ham, let's start with you. Talk about the offense.
Okay.
It's going to be a short segment.
It will be. Horrible. I'm going to go fast here. So slash line through four games for the team was 154, 218, 211, scoring eight total runs. And as I mentioned, half of those came off Acuña's grand slam, which was due to was arguably the best worst call against the Braves ever.
The best worst call. You're right.
I mean, it was just amazing. Okay, so we got the luck there. And our three losses, we went 1-14 with runners in scoring position and left 19 runners on base. Monday, we left 10 with multiple runners on base in three of the first five innings. We were flat out overmatched. So look at these. Listen to these slash lines. Our best slash line was Freeman, 250, 294, 438. Suzuki, 250, 250, 250. Acuña. Despite his grand slam, he had three hits, 188, 235, 438. Markakis, 083, 267, 083. Culberson, 167, 231, 167. Ender, 231, 231, 231. Ozzie, 200, 200, 200. Flowers, 143, 250, 143. Camargo, 000, 063, 000.
So did he get one walk?
He got one walk.
Yeah.
I mean, we just could not hit in any of the games. I mean, even the game against where Acuña hit the grand slam, we could not put it together. Markakis, one hit in the series. Ender, Ozzie, and Acuña only had three hits. Culberson, two. Camargo, one walk. It's just we had three base runners against Kershaw. two of them were Acuna. Two of his three hits came against Kershaw. We had one other base runner the entire game.
And not getting Acuna in after his leadoff double in the first was just another turning point in the series.
Yeah, and it just felt, Curtis, at one point this season you were talking about Ozzy, and it was like, he's going to surprise us with a weak pop-up or a weak grounder. What's it going to be? That was like where the excitement was. And that's what it felt like. This whole series, just overmatched by the pitchers. Like, that we were never in control. We never had them on their heels. I mean, there were a couple of moments. Obviously, we're up 2-1, but it felt fleeting at best whenever we were up. They dominated us. Our hitting was horrible.
So just to talk go ahead, Kurt.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, basically the Braves had two big hits, maybe three if you count Suzuki's pinch hit. Two-run hit. But, yeah. I mean, you had the Grand Slam and Freeman's home run, and that was effectively it. I mean, there were other opportunities, bases loaded with one out type of stuff that, they could not find any way to generate any offense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to the best worst call. So I don't know if you guys read DOB's write-up about the game the next day, but it talked about that Acuna had really never been told to just take a pitch. And he was a little emphatic about it. The pitcher started his windup and Acuna just sort of stood up and held his bat and didn't.
Do you think that contributed to get called a strike?
I do. Yeah, no, I think that it's like it brought me back to Little League. When, a kid bails out of the batter's box, who's scared of getting hit, and the ump calls the strike.
Yeah.
It felt sort of similar to that. But yes, it certainly worked out.
It did.
All right, Curtis, talk about the starting pitching that the Braves got during the series.
Also not great.
Here we go again.
Yeah, it's sort of a theme that has plagued the Braves all season long, which is homers and walks. And we talked about it going into the series, that one thing they really had to improve a ton on, and obviously it was a pipe dream, was the walks and the homers. And that it was all series long, walks, homers, walks, homers, walks, homers. And, we'll never know if Tehran could have done anything differently. Gausman obviously got bumped and didn't do great in his relief effort. Newcomb was obviously the best starting pitcher of the three between Folti, he and Sanchez. So combined, they had a 750 ERA, 11 walks in 14 innings. Four homers, it wasn't even like there was tons of hits. It was just that they walked guys and then gave up two or three run homers. And the other thing was the Braves, really perhaps the worst thing that could have happened to the Braves for just emotional aspects and everything else, is that they were down in virtually every single game. And right off the bat, the Dodgers are scoring first inning runs in every single game other than the game that the Braves won. I mean, the first game, Folti was just bad. Gave up runs. I gave up a homer right off the bat. Literally, the first batter of the game.
On an 0-2. Wasn't it 0-2 or at least two strikes? Yeah.
Yeah. And it just set the table for the rest of the game. The Braves were in a hole when they knew that scoring runs was going to be tough. And then the Dodgers could sort of play much looser because they were coming right out with a two-run first inning or a one-run first inning, and they were already putting the Braves in a hole. And you could tell, you'd seem that it sort of weighed on the Braves. So the starting pitching just didn't do the Braves any favors, and we are where we are right now.
Yeah, two homers for Folti in game one, two homers for Sanchez in game two, no homers for Newcomb and Folti in their in those next two starts.
Yeah, but I mean, Newcomb walked three in four innings.
Oh, yeah, four more walks for Folti in the second game, his second game.
Right.
Yeah, and didn't cover any innings, to your point.
Yeah, right, and that's exactly.
That's a little on Snitker, too, though.
Well, no, I honestly, I think Snitker pulled them when he should have. I don't blame. And we're going to talk about some of Snicker's moves later, Ham. I mean, you can argue the other point, but I think he pulled them out when they needed to. They just weren't performing.
It was not the dominant, you know, any of them. It was, I mean, in the postseason, you have to have shut down pitching. You have to make it where they have to earn everything they get. And when you walk a bunch of guys, I mean, I'm trying to count up here. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 27 walks over four games.
It doesn't seem like a winning formula.
No.
All right, guys. So let's look at the relievers. And to the point of the starting pitchers not covering a bunch of innings, the relievers over the four games covered 20.2 innings. They gave up no runs in only one game. So across those other three games, they gave up 10 runs plus one unearned run. 16 walks for the relievers over those 20.2. Four home runs given up over those 20.2 innings. As a counterpoint, the Dodgers bullpen, now they covered many less innings. They only covered 11.2 because they got better starting pitching. But over those 11.2 innings, the Dodgers bullpen gave up one earned run and two walks. I mean, to make the glaring difference as glaring as possible.
So one of those is better. Give me the stats again.
Yeah.
And the guy that the guy that gave up the big home run was a starter. Was Alex Wood to Freeman.
Right.
So you can't even really pin that on their bullpen. And frankly, the Dodgers sort of played that game knowing that they were up 2-0 and really had nothing to lose.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. So look, the bullpen, there was actually a lot of good in the bullpen. I mean, the starters at who Snicker leaned on a lot, the Freed, Toussaint, and Newcomb, they were quite good.
Newcomb was great in relief.
Newcomb was great in relief. Freed was really – I know Freed gave up a homer, but Freed was really great in relief. And Toussaint got out of a really bad jam, you know?
Yeah. Good seasoning.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good for them for the long haul, for sure. You know, Vizzy closed out game three as sort of rocky as it was. Minter was okay in game three. Sobotka became – you know, showed himself as the rookie that he really was. It was interesting because we haven't talked about the 25 man, no Sam Freeman, no Shane Carl. Like as much as Snitker leaned on those guys and, you know, he has a say along with Anthopoulos making out that 25 man roster. Interesting that they went with the kids and left Freeman and Carl, two of the biggest workhorses of the year, out. And I'm glad they did. My God.
Well, do you think it has anything to do with maybe concerns about the starting pitching not being able to go deep? I mean, they effectively kept all the – I mean, it was basically a team of starting pitching and then like four relievers.
Yeah.
Because you had the three guys that started. You had Freed, you had Gausman, you had Tehran, you had Toussaint. I mean, those guys were all on the team, and I guess that's what the thinking was is that they would have to – Well, he started. I mean, he did get a start. Yeah. So, I guess they just figured that they were going to have to be as proactive as possible about getting guys out of the game as early as they might have to, knowing that scoring would be such a premium.
But I feel like they overmanaged. Well, we'll get to that. I feel like, Stevie, 20.2 innings of relief pitchers. Is that how many innings they pitched?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. So out of a possible 36, like they Our starting pitchers have to be going deeper than that. And we don't have the Brewers' bullpen, right? We're either young or we're sketchy. We've got to be able to rely on our starters more. I felt like he was so quick to pull.
So I totally disagree. Fulte had given up four. Sanchez had given up three.
Yeah.
You don't let them score more when your offense is not as good as theirs. Newcomb put a bunch of guys on base. Fulte got through four and was starting to get shaky. He had walked four guys in his second start. Yeah, I don't see it. And especially when you construct your roster that way, when you have at least a starting pitcher to come in behind your starting pitcher. I mean, Hammy, there was a great article on FanGraphs. This is Tuesday. Ripping Brett Boone for, you know, the huge lopsided loss 16-1 or whatever the Red Sox had over the Yankees about not pulling, what's his name? Severino early enough.
Yeah.
You got to pull starting pitchers when they start to falter. I mean, I know he didn't have the pieces that you'd want, and we're going to talk about a non-pitch hitting scenario that went on, but you got to use your pieces. Yeah.
I think your best pitchers. I think our best pitchers are our starters. And Sanchez gave up 3 runs a game. I mean, so maybe that was it. I don't know. I felt like he got nervous and he overmanaged, and maybe we were better off leaving our starters in there and trying to shut down their offense.
But I mean, giving up 3 runs a game in the postseason is a loss. You know, I mean, that's just sort of the way it breaks out. If you look at what the pitching did, it's weird because they only gave up 25 hits through the 4 games. So it's not like
homers and walks, man.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. It's not like the pitching was terrible.
Right.
It was just ineffective. I don't know how you would describe it. It was opportunistic of the Dodgers that every chance they had, they capitalized on. And, you know, it was just the barrage of homers, just every single game. That's what the Dodgers did all season long. I mean,
from every position.
Yeah. I mean, they had like 7 guys hit 20 or something home runs. So, you know, it's just up and down the lineup, but you have to find a way. And I know it's easier to say, but to sort of remedy some of that, you know, I mean, we'll see how the Brewers pitching matches up and sorts to try and rectify that problem. But, you know, you got to sort of find ways that you're not grooving pitches. And it's with the walks, you know, it's too many balls. You're probably deep in counts and got to throw a pitch that maybe you don't want to throw, and it ends up in the seats.
Well, right. And to put too fine a point on it, you walk all those guys, it means you're not having clean innings. You're having base runners. There was probably I wish I'd looked this up. I just think about it now. How many 1-2-3 innings they had over the 36?
Right. Lots of extra pitches. You know, lots of pressure on the defense. So, yeah, I mean,
you know, there was this is Tuesday. There was a Twitter exchange between DOB and somebody. They were asking about, you know, I think it started with, is Snitker going to be back? Of course, it was just an insane question at this point. But DOB seemed to allude that Chuck Hernandez was not going to be back. And maybe it's about the walks, you know.
It's a problem. I mean, it goes without saying, and I just said it, but I mean, and it's obvious, but it is endemic. It is a serious problem.
You can't win with
for this team. No. And it's not just bad. It's like historically bad watching this team walk the number of guys that they walk.
And that's got to be on the pitching coach in some way, right? I mean, how can it not be?
Maybe a couple pitchers here. Yeah, I guess in some way. I think a lot of it's about the talent, but you know, I mean, these guys, you can talk hitting approach all day long with a hitter, but he's got to go up and hit. Same with the pitchers. All right, guys, so let's wrap up the postseason. I want to walk through some of the moves that Snitker made during the series. And I want to start with game one. So it was 4-0 Dodgers, top 3, 1 out, and it's Folti's spot in the lineup. And he is clearly done after the bottom of the second. He doesn't have it. He's given up 4 runs, and they bat him. And we're watching going, okay, they're really bringing Folti back? That seems insane. And then they don't even bring him back. Newcomb comes in. Now, I railed against this on Twitter and got a lot of, just dumb responses.
But there's no smart response to that.
No, the dumb response is your bench is terrible. So, Folti's probably the worst hitter in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, certainly on the
Braves.
I mean,
seriously, just watch an at-bat of Folti's. And I'm sorry, your bench is bad. You're right. But the argument of the bench is bad, don't bring them in, save them for even more critical spots at the end of the game, makes no sense.
Bring Tehran in to pinch hit.
Bring anybody else in. And I'm sorry, you have Lane Adams and Rene Rivera, who are righties on the bench. I promise you have a better chance of getting something going against
Ryu. I think it's just got too much for him. For Snicker. Like, how do you, like, how does that, certainly that was not his strategy going in to be like, I'm going to hit Fulte here and then pull him. I mean, something must have changed in
Hammy. I disagree. I think he was like, I'm saving the bench. I'm saving the bench for more critical moments late in the game. That's what I believe his mindset was.
It's stupid.
The only thing that makes sense, Steve, is that you're, and we'll get to shot in the dark, is that he was trying to make you win your shot in the dark. That's that.
Which
what
I like. I do like that explanation. I grant you, it makes me like Snicker even more.
And then it makes total sense and is justifiable.
Exactly.
But the bench did have no hits, right?
Yeah, I mean, the bench didn't see a lot of action, right? Duda had a pinch hit opportunity.
He was close.
Almost hit a three-run homer.
Yeah. He almost hit a three-run homer. Flaherty had a pinch hit appearance. Didn't get a hit.
Flaherty had two. Duda had three.
Oh, really? Okay.
Lane Adams had one. That's sort of it.
Yeah, Rene Rivera did not see the field, or didn't see the plate anyway, as a pinch
hitter. And Suzuki obviously was a pinch hitter when he hit that.
Right. I'm not talking about the Flozuki. I'm talking about the other guys, but.
Yeah. But again, this goes back to the depth of the team. I mean, their bench is horrible,
which was non-existent. I mean, and my God, you look at the depth of the Dodgers. I mean, it was just glaring.
Right. You're bringing David Freese, who was the World Series MVP like 3 years ago.
Right. Or, you know, you're bringing in Max Muncy because he's not starting. You're bringing in Kemp because he's not starting. You know, I mean, there's
this goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah, really does. All right. So bullpen moves in general. I liked how he used the bullpen. I liked the heavy reliance on Fried and Newcomb and Toussaint. My one issue with his bullpen usage was game four. So this is the Braves are up 2-1. It's top six. You're replacing Venters, who's left two on and gotten two outs, and you replace him with Brad Brock. I mean, it is arguably the most pivotal moment in the series, and really you're bringing in the worst reliever out there.
That we have.
You know? That we have.
Yeah.
Bring out Minter. Bring out Toussaint. Even bring out Newcomb just to get one out.
Bring in
but Brock had already given up a home run, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Brock didn't look good the last week or two down the stretch. And of course, he gave up two runs. I don't know. Do you guys see that any different?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think that for the I thought it was great. I'm glad he used the young guys. I think he may have been a little too quick to pull the trigger. But you guys, I mean, obviously have a good case for the counter. I think the bottom line with all this, I think that maybe the Brock thing you could do better. I mean, why not bring in Sabaka there? Bring in like somebody who's just, you know, feel confident in getting that out. But you look at it, he had limited options on both sides of the ball, right? With the bullpen that was shaky, bats that were shaky. I mean, Snicker was playing with a half deck compared to the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
Yeah. So that's the big
asterisk. Any thoughts on replacing Gausman with Newcomb in game three? Anyone not like it?
Meh.
I mean, to me, it's like, you're down 0-2. You're looking for any lever to pull. There's no guy on the bench. I mean, the offense is the problem, right?
Yeah.
But there's no one on the bench that you're like going to give a spot start to. I mean, he had no levers to pull on the offense. So he did what he thought might give a little spark. I thought it was good.
Frankly. Yeah. And I mean, Newcomb looked great on the game one. Right.
Yep,
and obviously he wasn't going to go deep with any of his starters. And so, why not?
Yeah. Kurt?
No. And Newcomb had the best numbers of any of the starting pitchers. And then, it was almost pitcher by committee that game because Gausman came in very quickly thereafter. Was not great. But,
not great.
I guess I was sort of shocked that Tehran did not get a start. I got to say.
That no, I'm happy about it. They clearly did not think much of Tehran. I mean, he had one appearance in game four.
And was clean.
Yeah.
Good. That's right. Back to counting the 1-2-3s. As we all predicted, Tehran would have one out of the bullpen. So what about moving Ender and Camargo around in the two hole? Right. Camargo started the first two games batting second and went hitless. So I guess it made sense.
He was, I mean, he was grasping at straws. He was trying to do something to jumpstart the offense. Did Ozzie not start a game in the two hole?
He did, yeah. So Enciarte batted in the two in game three and Ender, sorry, and Albies in game four. But, you know, guys, we were so worried about Snitker getting completely outmanaged. And it's, I mean, obviously it is just common knowledge that he's not a good X's and O guy, but overall, he didn't lose any games for the team, you know?
No.
It wasn't a train wreck.
No.
No, they didn't perform.
They couldn't hit the ball. They could not hit the ball.
Yeah. I mean, they had 19 hits in four games, so, and the pitching was not up to postseason standards. That's where it all lies.
Yeah.
The shame is, like, at their best, the Braves could have won. And yeah, that's what we said. We said, look, they have to play their best.
Yeah, you know? Our ceiling is comparative to those other guys, right? I mean, it's at the same level, but it's harder for us to sustain that ceiling. Yeah.
And this might have been the worst matchup they could have had. Just because of how it all plays out, the walks and the homers, it just, you know, that was a team that was the worst possible thing you could do that to. I mean, obviously Milwaukee's really good, but it seems like that would have been a better matchup for the Braves in a lot of different ways than what they got with the Dodgers.
Yep. All right, guys, next up is Shot in the Dark, but first a quick break. All right, Shot in the Dark, our crazy predictions for the week that just ended, and we picked three of them from our listeners to cover the first three games of the series. So first up is Jared Addis, who predicted that Fulte would throw eight innings of two-hit ball, Acuna would hit two homers, and Albies would hit a homer, and Inciarte would steal three bases.
Good God.
Yeah. Wow.
That's quite the parlay.
Yeah, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
That would have been a payout.
Yes.
So Fulte in that first game, two innings of three-hit ball, one homer for Acuna, none for Albies. And there was actually, to the, you know, NCRT three steals, there was only one steal attempt by the Braves, and it was Acuna's ill-conceived attempt in game one. No other steal attempts the whole rest of the series. All right, next up is Zach Rice, who predicted that over the first three games, Braves starters would combine to give up less than five earned runs. Sabatka would record two holds, and the Braves would take two of three. So the Braves starters gave up eight earned over those first three games. Sabatka did record one hold, and of course the Braves only went 1-2.
We're finding all these different ways to torture us. The shots in the dark. Nope. And that didn't happen. You predicted the Braves would show a sign of life in at least two of the games.
Well, the people made the mistake of submitting positive stuff about game outcome. See, that was where they went wrong.
Aha. Uh-huh. These koozies are very valuable. They're very elusive.
So the final one is from Corey Carroll, who predicted that Acuna would homer in his second postseason at bat. He was going all Price is Right on you, Hammy, on your Shot in the Dark. but that was not to be. So thank you to everyone for playing. All right, so let's see how we did with our postseason. I predicted, Am, you alluded to it, that Fulte would get an RBI hit in game one. And he did not hit that homer.
Snicker tried.
Yeah, Snicker tried. So he struck out. Ham, you predicted Acuna would hit a homer in his first at bat. That waited till game three. And then Kurt, you predicted starters would give up fewer than seven earned in three games. You were the closest because it was eight earned.
Oh, Kurt, did you get any this year?
What?
You got some in August? You were off to a slow start. I think I got one, so I'm not one to talk, but I was hoping you were there with me.
I got one in August and one in September.
Oh.
And
yes.
Tied and won those months.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, I am the big loser.
All right, so folks, no Shot in the Dark this coming week. We will do a Braves off-season Shot in the Dark at the end of next week's show. And so, guys, this is the sad part where we, like, look at the week ahead and the pitching matchups. And yet there seems to be nothing listed for the Braves.
Very quick. Any predictions on who wins it now that we're down to eight? Assuming the Red Sox
assuming
win.
The Yankees lose. I think that the Brewers are going to beat the Dodgers. I think Houston's going to beat the Red Sox. And I think Houston's going to win the World Series. That's what I think. What about you guys?
Yeah, I sort of feel like I think the Dodgers are going to lose to the Red Sox to the Astros again.
Oh, so you think Dodgers are going to get to the World Series?
I think the Dodgers will beat Milwaukee, and I think that Houston's starting pitching is just unhittable.
Curtis,
well, the Braves did win more postseason games than the Cubs and the
Rockies,
Indians, and the Rockies, so that's good. I'm going to have the Red Sox over the Brewers. That's where I'm going.
Mm.
All right, then.
All right.
Just to counter everyone.
Thank you.
Sure.
Just to get your own action.
Indeed.
All right. So, folks, we're back next Sunday night with a season wrap-up show. And that is it for tonight. All right. So remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spreaker. As always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Brave!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. How do it make